back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. Storm. I'm back with Dave, like always.
What's up, guys?
We just lost our third game in a row after the All-Star break. So what, Dave? Time to pack it in?
You know what? I think you said it best. What did you say just before we got on here? Go ahead and tell the people what you said, man.
When I looked at the post-All-Star break, I said we're probably going to lose the first three games because they were that tough. Back-to-back against the Jazz and then the Suns, and then the Kings are going to come in fired up, ready to go. We've already seen what they're capable of. But the question is, can we bend without breaking?
And I think it comes back to, what is SGA doing? What do we know about him right now? And everything I'm looking up, and it's day-to-day. Again, we don't know exactly what it is. We'll find out, though. I mean, we'll find out pretty quickly, because if he's going to miss this next game, then we know it's a little bit more concerning than we originally thought. And we'll find out pretty quickly here. You know, news on Poku is still that he's starting to do light workouts. There's nothing pretty new on that at all. I don't expect anything new on that. We're still looking at, you know, mid-March before he's even evaluated to get back in the games. And even then, I don't think he's going full strength at all. You know, somebody asked about Chet. Might as well throw this out there. They asked if we thought Chet would play in the summer league. I absolutely expect Chet to play in the summer league. Absolutely do. He needs to get in game shape, and that's going to be a great time for him to do so, where it's going to be light. It will be good for him to do so. So, yes. And then, Mark,
and then,
what's the other news we heard?
We heard Eugene Omorari
has been officially waived. And the one of the things that I love about the way we waive people, and we did this last year, is we sign them to a contract.
Right.
We give them,
guarantee
little
money,
settlement.
Right?
Yep.
And then we let
guarantee that money to them, and then let them go. It's as thank you for giving it, giving your heart, giving your soul to this team.
We did it,
Roby.
We make sure these people are taken care of.
And it's not a lot of money that we're dealing with.
Millions.
But, you know, the same thing with Kemba Walker. We gave Kemba Walker a hell of a settlement. You know, like this is what we are doing as an organization. And so I like it, man. And you know, before we got on here, we talked about how we're going to fill the hole there. But what do you feel like, man? Like, how do you feel like we're going to fill that massively gaping hole that Omorari is going to leave there? Because I mean, he was a staple of that G League and coming up and helping us out.
It's going to be difficult, but in the end, he wasn't playing that many minutes. So if we can get a few minutes in, you know, the Thunder, the A team as we call it, or whatever, you know, then we're going to be fine. So where will those come from? Obviously, we saw Lindy Waters play like 35 minutes last night. So
no, 17, bro.
Oh, dude, check it again, bro. He played quite a few minutes.
Really?
Dude. It was more than a few. But my point is,
I could have got that wrong.
That's a sign to me that they're kind of leaning into that. But not only that, we have a wild card now. We have a spot, an extra spot on the roster. We could do anything. We could cycle G League players up like we saw in the previous years. We could go find somebody who recently got cut or waived, you know, and we could bring in somebody else. What'd you see, Dave? How many minutes?
Yeah, dude, like I said last night during the after the game show, right?
Yeah.
I said it felt like he played 30 plus minutes last night.
And he
but
did.
But he only played 17.
He only played 17?
He only played 17. That's what I'm saying, man. He played so good for the 17 minutes that he played. It was outstanding, right, bro.
So it felt like more than that. I'm glad you checked me on that. But
impact, bro. Impact.
It was fantastic. But then on top of that, right, we noticed like there's this pattern of finding young players. We call them throw-in players, sometimes like Kenny Hustle. We're going to find players that are maybe on the outside looking in, and we can bring them into our organization.
Isaiah Joe.
There are players out there, and we trust our scouting staff. I think the guy's name is Vince. I don't know. The guy that we brought over from the 76ers, though, the assistant GM. And he...
Let's call him Spider-Man.
He has his own list. It's a hell of a list, and that's why we got Isaiah Joe, we think that there are more players on his list. We're going to see what happens, so pay attention. It may look like this is a deal that doesn't matter, but it says something.
Do we fill it with a G League player for now, or do we go out and we pick up a player that's been recently released, like whatever that guy...
This is going to sound weird, but both.
Yeah.
Both. Yes. We give some players opportunities to play up, and then we find somebody who is just recently released or cut, or, you know, that could be a part
of our
long-term
plan. This is
plan
opening a spot for next year. That's what
right.
this is. This
opening
is
opening
a spot
for next
year,
but also giving somebody a tryout this year and maybe giving more than one player a tryout. It gives us a lot of flexibility.
I like it.
But one thing I heard...
We heard Sar being passed along a lot, especially with the fact that he was sitting right behind the bench with Jang. Do you think that has any influence at all? I mean, he's got
it could be a lot of fun,
two-way.
Bro. There's a lot of different things that can happen. But one of the things let's go back to Omarui, because we do appreciate his time. But I heard Sam Presti talking about how, you know, giving players guaranteed contracts that are smaller is a competitive advantage they can have. And then they can waive those players and they can move on very quickly. And that's a competitive advantage. So this is a strategic element of the way that the Thunder are built. It may look like this is the end of the roster deal. It doesn't matter. These types of deals matter because we're going to find the future of the team, the next Lindy Waters in this type of deal.
Yeah, and we can't help but get excited about this, because when you have a player like Lindy Waters that is chomping at the bits on the outside saying, put me in the games, get me in there. Like, he deserves it, man. Look at what he's doing in the G League. He's dominating the G League. He's coming up and playing in at the same day in the NBA and making a massive impact to the point where we both thought he played 30-plus minutes until
that's
we looked
what happened.
Up the score
I think
sheets.
He played 35 in the G League earlier in the day, and then he came up and played 17 in the main one. Because I was listening to Coach talk, and I think Nick Gallo asked him a question, and I misunderstood it. But yeah, so he played, 42 minutes?
Yeah, he played a full game.
52 minutes, I think, dude. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Overtime game. You know, like, I look at it, and I have to say that excites me, because, you know, you get to that point where you're so tired, you're only playing with the desire and passion that you have. And he was being incredibly effective, man, incredibly effective in that. And I get excited because, like, there's very few guys that I look at on this team that I get, you know, really pumped about. Blake said it last night, our buddy Blake Thompson. He said he thinks Lindy Waters is the second best shooter on the team. And I have to agree with him. Like the way that Lindy Waters creates his own shot and the way he's able to create separation, the way he is able to release quickly, it's something that we all have to take a look. And his size in general is so big. Like, it's powerful to have a guy that can play three different positions out there at any given time. And that's the thing about somebody like Lindy Waters, is that he's always up to play somebody bigger than him or smaller than him. And he's up for the challenge. And he's always going to get a steal. He's always going to create a turnover. Like, he's doing so much out there. And I got to say, I get excited about guys like Lindy Waters, because you're right. Player development is key. All right. We talk about it a lot on this show. It's like, sometimes you're watching a game, you're like, you know what? Like last night, we knew we weren't going to win the game, you know, in that fourth quarter. It was like quite obvious that we didn't have what it took. But we're looking at it as a developmental aspect at that moment. Like, how are these guys going to work out? Well, what did Coach T? He couldn't find the matchup that he liked last night. So he put in everybody, rotating him in and out, until he found Lindy Waters and Isaiah Joe and all these guys that started working well together. We closed the gap and we weren't able to capitalize. And that's okay. You saw the mastery of Coach D throwing guys in and out there, trying to find the guys that were going to work the hardest. He didn't care what the matchup was. He didn't care what type of mismatches were going to be out there. He was looking for the spark, and he found the spark in Lindy Waters. And that creates confidence, man. And I really hope, I really, really, really hope that Lindy Waters gets promoted here and he gets an opportunity to show us what he can do, at, you know, averaging 17 nights, minutes a night, because it's powerful.
You know, I want to see Shea healthy, and I hope he's perfectly fine. But in the end, I like what we're seeing without Shea out there. And it's very difficult to understand, like, what all we are seeing, because you take away Shea, who was the critical part of the Paul George deal. You take away Chet, was our highest pick we've had since KD. And then you look at the group out there, right? And you say, what advantage do these guys have? And you know what advantage they have? They're young and they have experience. That's an incredible advantage. Like, it's not like they have more experience than the other teams, but a lot of the experienced teams are old. And we have a player like Saric, who's like 28. He's the oldest player on our team. But we're giving these young players opportunities. They're learning from their mistakes. They're improving very quickly. And watching Lindy Waters get out there and play like he did, to us, says it's okay if we lose games that Shea isn't out there. We want to win every game. When we especially want to win the games that Shea is out there. But if we go out there and we compete for four quarters, then a loss is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I look at this, and like you said, there's an expectations of what games we're going to win and what games we're not going to win, you know? And unfortunately, the first three games of the season, or the first three games of after the All-Star break, were, like you said, all three games. I put Utah in that middle range, right? You know, I put Utah in that middle range. But obviously, that was a game that we should have won. But here's the reality is, Suns and Sacramento, they're in the top of the West. And any stretch of the imagination, I know you have Memphis up there, and I know you have Denver up there, but these teams are highly functioning teams right now. And And you got to say, is Sacramento is doing things right. They're a defensive-minded team. And the Phoenix Suns are doing things right. They have a defensive-minded idea that's going on right now. And the same thing with the Utah Jazz. So we're going through this growing pains, and that's what it is. Because once we get through this, we have a ton of games that we think we can just knock off in a row. And a lot of it has to come down with the matchups we're looking at, saying, yeah, we could actually destroy a team because of the matchup. Because, and I'm looking at it and saying, we still got 21 games left, right. 22 games left, whatever it is. And we're in great shape.
The next 8 games are incredibly difficult. Kings, Lakers, Jazz, Warriors, Suns, Pelicans, Suns. Like, we could lose all 8 of those games.
All 8.
The key is, we want to compete all 4 quarters for each one of those games. We want to see the young players do the best, which is all the players, but we want to see them gel and ultimately buckle up, guys, because at this point we're already preparing for next season in the fact that we want to be as healthy as we can for the best playoff run we can make all season. So there's no sense in us running out Shea when he's not fully healthy, because we're already pegging a full off season, right? And then a hell of a push. Now, can the group of the guys that we have out there keep us in the playoff race? Well, right now, it looks like they're not, but we knew that this was going to be a tough time. Give them some space. Give those shots that Shea would get to Joe, to Giddy, to Waters, to Mann, to Wiggins, to JRE. You know, let's see what happens with these young guys when we give them chances, and we should just enjoy it. Enjoy it even though we see our team losing and sliding in the positioning. We're not enjoying it because of the loss, but we're enjoying it because we understand that we're doing everything we can do to compete, and it's a hell of a lot better than it was the last couple of years.
Yeah, man, it's the glimpses. It's the glimpses of Josh Giddey that are so exciting that we saw last night. It's the glimpses of J-Dub. It's the glimpses of SGA being a superstar. It's the glimpses of Dort's defense. It's the glimpses of J-Will out there and JRE and Isaiah Joe and Trey Mann when he's out there playing well. Like, these guys are going out there and doing some incredible things right now. So for us to sit here and put a cap on what they're capable of doing is silly. And second of all, and it's silly for us to try to say, you know, we want this team to go to the playoffs over anything else. No, we want this team to develop into the team that we know it will be. And that means that if we don't make it to the playoffs this year, that doesn't, you know, that's it's upsetting. But I still think we get 35 plus wins. I still think that we get, you know, like, these are big steps for a young team. 35 wins for a young team that's had trouble staying healthy is huge. And I think the team, the way they're playing, is something that we got to keep it up. We got to keep on the pedal. Get those wins when we get an opportunity to. And like you said, we got 8 rough games in a row. And I'm looking at, if we can go anywhere near 500, we're in a winning situation. And that's happy. I'm happy.
Let's do it, baby. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.